Would you please rise and join for the processional hymn, number 620. We'll sing verses 1-4 of it today. Seated for the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please rise for the invocation. And today this will be spoken. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
And you may be seated for hymn number 848.
Thank you.
Would you please rise? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Join with me in the prayer of the day. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. Heal us, and we shall be whole. Make us one with you. You live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Morning. The first reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priest family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are being asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is the 23rd psalm, which we will read responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in right paths.
For his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley,
I fear no evil.
For you are with me. You prepare a table before me.
In the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil.
My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me.
All the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of
my whole life.
The word of the Lord. The second reading is from John chapter 3, verse 16 to 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
gospel for today, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is from the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I am the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. When I consented to doing this morning, I asked if I could do a reading rather than try to find a sermon that went along with the gospel, and I was given that privilege. So this morning I'd like to read to you a small story by Leo Tolstoy, a Russian author of the mid-1800s to the early 1900s. The name of the story is What You Have Done for the Least. Many years ago, there was a shoemaker named Martin who lived in a tiny cellar apartment in a large city in Russia. The only light in his room came from a small window, just high enough to see people walking by from the knee down. Martin was a busy shoemaker, for he was an honest man and a fine craftsman. Martin lived alone. His wife had died while he was still an apprentice, leaving him with one son. The boy died 10 years later at age 13, leaving his father lonely and depressed. In his trouble, the shoemaker had the soul of a holy man. All I ask of God is that he bring my life quickly to a close, Martin told him. I have become a man without hope. There is still reason for you to live, the old man said. The answer lies in God. When you give yourself to God, you will find the reason to live, and you will no longer grieve over your great loss. Martin pondered the man's words. How do I give myself to God? He finally asked. That is what Christ showed us. Purchase and read the New Testament. There you will learn to live for God. Everything is to be found in the gospel. Deeply moved, Martin went immediately to a store where he bought a New Testament. Each night after his work was finished, Martin lit his lamp and read from the precious book. The more he read, the more he understood. The more he understood, the clearer and more joyful his heart became. As the depression left him, Martin faced each day with great anticipation. He worked long hours, caring tenderly for the boots and shoes that entered his tiny shop. His night reading empowered him to do his finest work. One night, Martin was reading the seventh chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. The story was about a rich Pharisee who invited the Lord as a guest. While Jesus sat at the table, a sinful woman anointed his feet and bathed him with her tears. In the end, Jesus absolved the woman of all her sin. Opening his eyes, he looked again at the story. Pardon me. Martin put the book down and closed his eyes. He could imagine what controversy that incident had caused. Opening his eyes, he looked again at the story. Then turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but amen, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Again, Martin closed his eyes. Would I have been like the Pharisee? He wondered. He took care of himself, but ignored his guest, and the guest was the Lord himself. If he came to me, would I have done the same? In a moment, Martin fell asleep. still sitting in his chair. Martin, a voice seemed to breathe in his ear. Martin roused himself, half awake. Who is there? He mumbled. Martin, look out in the street tomorrow. I will come to. Suddenly, Martin was fully awake. Was this the voice of Christ? Had he only imagined the words? Uncertain, he sat and paced for nearly an hour before he blew out the lamp and went to bed again. The next morning, Martin rose before dawn, prayed, heated the stove, put on his cabbage soup, and sat down at his bench by the window to work. This morning, however, his mind was not on shoes. He wondered about the voice he had heard, or thought he heard, the night before. The one part of him suggested that the whole incident was just a dream. Another part desperately wanted to see the Lord, or one. Like a schoolboy, Martin's eyes wandered out the window most of the morning. He saw familiar boots pass by in the new snow. As he stared, he could see old Stephen, the retired soldier who served as an assistant janitor in the building, come out to clear away the snow. From the beginning, the old man struggled. He is worn out already, Martin thought when he saw Stephen lean on his shovel against the wall. A man that old and frail has no business shoveling the heavy snow. Tapping on the window, he cried out to the old man, "Come in and get warm. I have some tea ready." Moments later, old Stephen shuffled into the small room. "Christ keep you, my bones are aching." "Don't bother wiping your feet," Martin advised. "I have to mop soon anyway." He poured two glasses of tea and offered one with a sugar cube to his visitor. Without speaking, the old man drank down the glass, turned it bottom up, sucked what remained of the tea through the cube, and nodded his thanks to his host. "Have another," Martin said, reaching for the teapot. Stephen drank this also, though not quite so quickly. As the old soldier drank, Martin glanced out the window. "Are you waiting for someone?" Stephen asked. "Waiting? Well, yes, I am." They're embarrassed about it. Then he told the old man of his dream. "It all began when I was reading about Jesus at the house of the Pharisee. Have you heard of the story?" "Heard of it, yes, but I can't read." Martin told him the entire tale, and when he showed interest, told him another story as well. When he finished, both men were silent. Finally, Martin asked, "More tea?" "I have had enough," Stephen said, rising. "Thank you for inviting me. You have fed both my body and my soul." Martin was pleased as the old man went outside, but he was also a bit disappointed. It was also late morning, had not yet come. He moved back to the workbench. He watched as other shoes passed by his window. He paced the floor impatiently. One of his trips to the door, he saw a woman, poorly dressed, standing against the wall with her back to the wind. She had a child in her arms. She wore summer clothes, and the blanket around the baby was thin and ragged. Opening the door, Martin cried out, "My good woman, it is easier to wrap the baby in here where it is warm." In a moment, the woman was standing by the stove, telling her story. Her husband had gone off to war 8 months before and hadn't been heard from since. She had worked as a cook until a baby was born 4 months. "They laid me off," she said sadly. "Don't you have any warm clothes?" "I sold my last shawl yesterday for 20 coins. We needed the food." "Come," Martin said. He took her to his tiny closet where a woman's winter coat was hanging. "It belonged to my wife. I don't need it anymore." Before she left, he gave her a bowl of the cabbage soup and found a warm blanket for the baby. When she was gone, Martin felt pleased that he had been able to assist her in some small way. He also felt sad, for it was early afternoon and Jesus had not yet made his visit. As the afternoon, he found it difficult to keep his mind on his work. He often peered into the street through his tiny window and opened his door. As he was standing in the door midway through the afternoon, he saw an old woman carrying a basket of apples on one arm and a sack of wood chips for her fire on the other. As she stopped outside Martin's door to shift the basket, a small boy snatched an apple out of the basket and began to run away. The old woman grabbed him by the sleeve and held on. The boy struggled to get loose, but the determined woman would not let it go. Martin jumped up and ran outside without taking time to put on his coat. When he reached the pair, the woman's hair, and he was screaming. Martin separated the two, and taking the boy by the hand, he pleaded, "Let him go, grandmother. Forgive and forget, for the sake of Christ." "I'll give him something he won't forget," she shouted. "I'll take him to the police." "For the sake of Christ," Martin pleaded, "have mercy." In the next few minutes, a beautiful drama was enacted. The old woman released the boy. He apologized. After Martin talked to her about the forgiveness of the Savior, she gave the lad another apple and smiled. As she took her basket and headed home, the boy sprang forward and offered to carry the sack of wood chips. Martin and the two walked down the street together. As he went back inside, he felt good that he had been able to help the two settle their differences. He also felt sad because it was now late afternoon and Jesus had not yet come. The shoemaker put his tools away, swept the floor, and set his table. When he finished the last of the cabbage soup, Martin picked up the New Testament and sat in his chair by the lamp. He felt rather foolish for believing that Jesus had spoken to him the night before. He opened the sacred book to the 25th chapter of St. Matthew. There he read, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'When did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it also to me.'" Images of old Stephen and the soldier's wife and the woman and the boy suddenly flashed across his mind. Then Martin realized that his dream had not deceived him. The Savior had truly come to him that day, and he had truly received him. That's the end of the story by Mr. Tolstoy, but I'd like to go back to where Martin said he was pleased as the old woman went outside. And when the lady was gone, Martin felt pleased that he had been able to assist her in some small way. And as he went back inside after the lady and the boy walked down the street, he felt good that he had been able to help the two settle their differences. I envy Martin, not because he felt good, or because many of us have felt that pleasure. I envy Martin because all he needed to do to identify the need was look out his window. I wish I had a window like that. And we will respond to the word of God today by singing hymn number 764. Thank you. Please rise as we join together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. Shepherding God, gather your church wherever we wander from you and one another. Empower our church in ministries around the world to work alongside global companions as equal partners and co-workers in the gospel. God of grace,
hear
our prayer. Nurturing God, preserve the health of biomes and ecosystems. Inspire scientists, researchers, conservation organizations, and all people entrusted with the task of caring for creation, that we may be better stewards of the world around us. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, lead nations and communities to share resources, cooperate in solving conflicts, and listen to the wisdom of people. Help all those with power to share it and to use such power for good. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, protect the very young and the very old, those living without housing, victims of domestic abuse, and all who live with chronic illnesses or compromised immune systems. Guide communities to actively care for people who are vulnerable. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, help this and all communities of faith to listen for your voice. Call us away from things that distract us from following you. Invite us to more deeply love and serve people isolated and on the margins of grace. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Living God, we give thanks for our ancestors in faith. Strengthen us to share the good news in our own day. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love. Through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Please join me in what our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the fourth Sunday of Easter. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Susanna Lute, Troy Kendall, and Brooklyn Woodworth. Happy anniversary to Todd and Terry Kendall. And there are other announcements.
Obviously, since I'm standing behind her. St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho. That's where we're at, right? Someone, and one of them is me, many, many more of you, have been here for a really long time. She's older than me. Today is Edith's last Sunday with our congregation. She's moving, going on a new adventure. Edith has, I don't even know, this many fingers, that many toes, can't count all the things she's been involved in our church. She has had choirs, junior choir, working with kids, women's choir, working with women. That's all some difficult tasks. She was our secretary and kept us lined out for many, many years. She has promised that she kept her house on the mountain, and when it's hot in Boise, she will return. Hopefully, she will come and visit us so that she can sing behind me so that my voice will be drowned out, because that's a good thing. But today we want to wish Edith good job, good and faithful servant. Take your light to Boise. Sorry, I cried.
We also need to thank Gary for taking care of the lawn at the parish and at the church the last few weeks until we could get someone else hired. And not only that, but he cleaned up the alley and he also cleaned up all the weeds at the parsonage. So a hand for Gary. We will collect the offering at this time.
As God has, we give to one another, blessed to be a blessing. Rise for the offertory hymn, Let the Vineyard Be Fruitful, Lord. Oh, we don't want to rise because we're passing the plate.
Thank you.
join me in the offertory prayer. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. It says we'll do the benediction sung.
Read what it's printed there. And then we'll do the threefold right now. Amen.
Blessed and sent into the world by God, the closing rite. The benediction and threefold amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Joining the recessional hymn, song 789, verses 1 and 3. Peace, serve the Lord.